Sure.
I know.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
We got a lot to share this morning. Norman, Jenny, thank you. Jesus made it home from Colorado. They made it home on Friday, so God, all the prayers that we made when they left, God answered a prayer in this house. Unfortunately, Jenny's not feeling well, so they had to stay home. I want you all to give Brother Andre a nice hand and welcome Andre with us. Greg and I performed together for over 35 years, and we spoke on the phones this week, and he's kind of tired right now and with the cold weather, and they need the car, and he just asked me if I minded that he'd kind of stay home for a little while, and I said, of course not. He's been faithful, and like I said, we've been together for 35 years, and so that's all. He's feeling okay, but, you know, you get to stay home all the time, you kind of get a little, well, I don't want to say lazy, but thank you for all your prayer, and I'll tell him that you all said hi, and he said to say hi to you all, and he loves being here, and he just got, I think the time was right for him, with winter coming and whatnot, but we are blessed, are we not, for this handsome young man, right? Ladies, he's single and available, but Praise the Lord. Thank you. And last week for Christmas, Chuck showed everybody the shirt that my wife bought about hunting in our 70s. And we're going to continue that. Everybody see Brother Greg's shirt saying he's never going to retire. Old men always just play the drums. And there it is. And when you see him later, there it is.
Turn around.
There it is. So we're continuing that good thing. But let's, what do you say we praise God this morning and have a good time with God?
He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, Him will I trust. And I will say, place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Here dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty.
Sing with us.
And I will say, my God. fortress. My God in Him will I trust.
And I got a message for you all today, and for those who aren't here, they're not going to hear it. No, God gave us a beautiful message for today. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
You made it to all this beautiful thing we've been through. We went through the holidays. And again, I want to thank Marilyn and Deacon Chuck for our Advent and all the beautiful things they did. And all of you. I think so. I know I'm looking out and I'm missing a lot of people today. Maybe it's just cold and maybe the weather. I know you said Jenny had what? What did she exactly?
RSV.
Yeah, she was reserved or something. They were in Colorado. But listen, I just want to remind you again, because it's important to me. We prayed for them when they went on that trip. They went on an airplane, flew out to Colorado, and all the weather that they dealt with, and they flew back on Friday, and God brought them back home safe and sound. And I think that's something we should all hold on to, the fact that God answers our prayers. Amen?
Amen.
And we're going to be great when God is moving in this house, and I got proof of that in the message today, that God is moving in this house, and it's to encourage you. Amen? Because I'm encouraged, but I want to encourage you. I think that's how it works. Right? Same key, Brother Andre. Thank you.
to the house of the Lord.
So glad.
So glad. So glad.
Say it back.
So glad. So glad.
I was glad
when they said unto me. I was glad when they said unto me.
House. We pray for those who aren't here today, everybody. Just say a little prayer. Say, Lord, just bless them and keep them safe. Thank you for all being here today. Thank you that you woke up and it was freezing cold and you came to church today. Sometimes you call that a sacrifice of praise. Sometimes, you know, it's true that you didn't feel like coming. Maybe you didn't have a reason for it. You just didn't want to come or whatever reason, but you chose to come. And that's called a sacrifice of praise. God sees your heart. That's what he sees the most. He sees inside of you deeper than you can imagine. So give him just a thank you and just let him. I want you to know he knows you're here and he put you here this morning. So reach out and take all you can get from God today. Kiss him. Why me, Lord? What have I ever done that was worth evil of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you for the kindness you've shown? Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it so. Help me, Jesus, I know. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. That's your promise from the God that we're praying to today. In Jesus' name.
Praise.
You may be seated. You may be seated, but you're not defeated. How has your life changed in the last month? I pray that it changes little by little, day at a time. You don't want to see like giant changes in one day, because sometimes they don't last. But you want to see little changes every single day. You want to see something that you didn't see the day before inside of you. That's how you grow with God. That's how you grow and understand the importance of coming to church and having a church family, because the world is crazy out there. But you look and come to this church and you look around at the people in this church and you can trust them. And that's the most beautiful part of it. God brings a new family into our lives. And it's so beautiful. We do the responsive reading, follow the bulletin. Let's see what Marilyn picked. Oh, you guys got a lot of work today. Little and loud, but Marilyn gave you all a lot of work today. Listen, I asked you all to clap your hands before. I had no idea. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph.
For the Lord Most High is our help. He is great and all.
He will subdue the peoples under him and the nations under our feet. Beautiful, right? God has gone up with a shout. The Lord with the sound of trumpets.
Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to God. Sing praises.
For God is the King over all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. And there'll be some day, and I pray that it's many, 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 many days from now, years from now, and years from now, you're going to meet him face to face. And you're going to say, why didn't I praise you when I had the chance right there? Why didn't I get somebody else excited about you? Because somebody got me excited about you. God changes your life. Why don't we change other people's lives? We sang that song, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. I can't tell you how many times I invited people to a nightclub I was performing, a show I was doing, places that I was playing my music, and we asked everybody, come. But you go to church and people stop asking why. We should never stop asking our friends, never, never stop asking your friends and your family. You say, well, they don't listen. Well, you should expect that. Amen? You should expect that. Praise God. Who gave names to all the animals after God created them? According to the book of Genesis. This is pretty interesting. Who gave names to all the animals after God created them? Was it God? Was it Adam? Or was it Eve? Who gave names to all the animals? How many think God named all the animals? How about Adam? Adam named all the animals. How about Eve? Anybody want to give Eve credit? Faith gave Eve. That's good. There you go. Standing up for. Well, I can't tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The Bible said that Adam was named Eve, but I can't tell you that Eve wasn't behind him saying, no, that's not good.
That's right.
Call it a horse. So I can't say for sure that, you know, because anybody that, you know, well, I don't want to get into that, I'll be trouble. But I'm just saying that Eve was right behind him saying, no, no, don't call it that. Call it a mosquito. Remember? I mean, you get a thing, right? I don't know. But the Bible says, and that's what we stand on, that Adam named the animals. Who is known in your Bible? By the way, I hope you got a Bible at home and bring your Bible to church once in a while and come to our Bible studies, because we really do. I think we really get inside some of these stories to make them come alive for you. But who in the Bible was known as the weeping prophet? In your Bible, who is known as the weeping prophet? Was it Jeremiah? Was it Isaiah? Or was it Job? I'll wait for the answer. You only missed one. I know it's cold outside and the snow's on the ground and the ice on the road. You had to scrape ice off the window. Good morning.
Good morning.
There you go. Who named all the animals? She didn't even need a choice. She's on fire. Who was known as the weeping prophet? Who was known as the weeping prophet? Was it Jeremiah? Was it Isaiah? Or was it Job? Who was known as the weeping prophet? Anybody? Jeremiah? Anybody want to say Jeremiah? How about Isaiah? Isaiah? Anybody? We got John. How about Job? Anybody? I know why you picked Job, because of what happened, but Job wasn't a prophet. It was Jeremiah, was known as the weeping prophet. Remember that for today. Who was the name of the synagogue ruler who begged Jesus to heal his daughter in the book of Mark. What was the name of the synagogue ruler who begged Jesus to heal his daughter? Was it Julius? Was it Judas? Was it Jairus? Or was it Hamas? Who was the name of the synagogue ruler who begged Jesus to heal his daughter? I think it was Judas. Judas, anybody? How about Jairus? Jairus, anybody Jairus? How about Hamas? Hamas, anybody? Of course, it was Jairus, his daughter Jairus. And he got mad because Jesus stopped and healed the woman of the bleeding. See, he wanted to go, hurry up and come to my house. And, you know, Jesus took his time. And he takes his time. How many know that God takes his time? Raise your hand if you do. How many are not happy about the fact that he takes his time? Raise your hand if you're honest. Sorry, God's time, not ours. But it was Jairus, or Jairus. In the book of 1 Kings, how many officers did Solomon appoint over Israel? How many officers did he appoint? 144, 12, or 6? How many officers did Solomon appoint over Israel? How many think 144? How about 12? 12? How about 6? Anybody who was 6? Why did he pick 12? How many?
Try.
There you go. Now you guys are good. So you guys know the Bible. Pretty good. Micah said that the enemy comes from where? This is really interesting. The book of Micah, the prophet Micah, M-I-C-A-H, Micah, said that the enemies come from where? The enemy comes from Satan. The enemy shall come from his own nation. Or the enemy shall come from his own house. Micah said the enemies come from where? How many think from Satan? That's where Micah said. How about his own nation? Will come from your own. How about from his own house? Yes, that's why you need to be careful. Because the enemy comes from your own house. Praise God. It's something you want to read. It's in the prophet Micah. You want to read it. It's in your Bible. I got one more for today for you. An extra one. What prophet described Nineveh as a bloody city full of lies and robbery? What prophet described the city of Nineveh as a bloody city full of lies and robbery? What prophet? Was it Micah? Uh-oh. Was it Habakkuk? I love that guy. Anybody ever read Habakkuk? In your Bible, ever see Habakkuk? H-A-B-A-K-K-U-K?
No.
Habakkuk? Or was it Jonah? Was it what prophet described Nineveh as a bloody city full of lies and robbery? Micah? Anybody? Did I give you Micah? No. How about Habakkuk? Anybody? You know? How about Jonah? You see? You know the Bible. I cannot tell you enough that, like Brother Dave's going to tell you can't tell you enough to know the Bible because it's safety for you. It's fun. If the Bible is fun, when you read one thing in the Bible and you get understanding, right, Alan? All of a sudden you want to know, what else can I understand? I love that.
Revelation.
Praise God. It just opens your eyes to beautiful, wonderful things. I think. I'll do that afterwards. I'll do that afterwards. Thank you, everybody. Are you all ready to receive the Word of God? How many are ready to receive? I have a message for you today. I pray that you receive a message of encouragement. How many want you want to be encouraged, right? You trust God? You really? You trust Him, right?
Yes.
You trust Him. He got you here today. He's got you to this point in your life. I think we should just trust Him. How many know things don't go the way we want all the time, right? But you trust Him. How many things did you get through that you didn't think you're going to get through, or had to go through things you didn't want to go through? There you are. You went through it, right, Brother Eric? Yeah, see, Lily got her hand up.
Yeah.
Marilyn's looked, did I do something wrong in my hand? We did the song. We did the Lord prayer. I did the bulletin and the quiz. We're good. Okay. Praise God. Jeremiah. I know. Get it out of your system. Jeremiah was a
bullfrog.
You got it out of your system now? Okay, good. All right. I just knew that was going to happen. So he was a prophet. And what is a prophet? An inspired teacher of the will of God. God spoke to him. Has God spoke to any of you? Some people say they read. I believe it. But God spoke to him. A preacher, me, is a minister of religion, the Word of God. That's my job.
And the ministry of good news, that's what I do, good news, victory over sin, over Satan, over temptation, over envy, over jealousy, over hate, over anger. The messages I give you on Sunday are for you to have the victory over all those things that Satan wants you to have. He wants you to be miserable. He wants you to be angry. He wants you to be jealous and envious. But with the good word that the minister gives you, it gives you power and gives you strength and knowledge and wisdom. I think that's a good thing, right? Not man's ways. And here's the best part. Not man's ways, but guess who? God's ways. Amen. Good ways, right? For his people. That's why I preach to you. That's why God preaches to me all week when I'm writing it. He's preaching to me to give you good news, and I get so excited about doing it every week. That's why when folks aren't here, yeah, my spirit, but I say, God, the people are here, you want to be here today. Thank you. Words of wisdom, again, not from man, but from God. Spiritual, what does that mean? Sacred. Our inner being, it goes to your soul. The words that we share go to your soul. For our safety, amen? For safety, for your family, for your friends, for you. Hallelujah. Hope that does not come from man. Trust me, you all know that, right? You hope in man, you're in big trouble. Sometimes the word brings warning. Sometimes when I'm preaching, it's like a warning. Sometimes it's gentle. Often in desperation to save a soul from the world's sins, the world's danger. Sometimes I'm preaching out of desperation. I want to get you in line with God, because the only place that you win is when you're in line with God. You might not feel it. You might not understand it. But it's my job to somehow bring you to that light, because there's danger. And here's the thing. The prophet can see the signs. He sees what is to come. The prophet can tell you what's to come. Even in our personal lives. You see, this book looks like a book, but your life is in this book. There's things in this book that pertain to you. So this book is about you, and this book is for you. Amen? That's what the Bible is. Not some strange writing, some crazy writing. It's people who talked to God, and God spoke to, who wrote for you, for your safety. Hallelujah. So how can a prophet see that? It's simple, because God is showing him. The preacher spreads the word, his word, the good word, God's word. I might not know what is to come. I can't tell you the future, but I can see the signs. I can see the dangers. I can see sin, evil, and destruction, especially in my flock. Amen? I can see it in my flock because we're together all the time. We know each other, and I can see sins and dangers and stuff, and I can see it, and I can preach to you somehow to reach you to say, you know what, I want to get back in the light, because things aren't going the way I really want them, so I got to get back in the light. You see, even from the altar I can see it, and I can see it from other places from the altar. But it must be God's word. It must be God's word that cuts like a double-edged sword. Anybody ever heard that? God's word cuts like a double-edged sword. Well, if you hear it and you know it, you said, I've heard it before, here's what it does. You can say it and say, I understand it, but here's the truth. Here's the truth. If you don't feel it, you don't have it. If it doesn't convict you, you're not putting it inside where it belongs. You see, his words should cut like a double-edged sword. So if you don't feel it, it's not cutting and you're not listening. Amen? That's the truth. I don't mean to be hard on you, but if his word is cutting inside of you, everybody know what a double-edged sword is. It cuts all of it. So his word convicts and converts us. It cuts deep, wide, to change our ways, our thoughts, to God's thoughts. You see, his word should change you, and not in a bad way or not in a crazy way, but just change you to God's way, his thoughts, not your thoughts. That's what the double-edged sword is all about. You can read it and say it all you want, but if you don't feel it, you must say, Lord, I'm not feeling it. Why am I not feeling it? Because I'm not listening to you. I'm not trusting you. I'm not leaning on you. That the word of God should cut inside of me. Because he talks to everybody individually. You all know that, right? He talks to Dave different than he talks to me and Sergio. Then he talks to Greg and different than all you. He talks to him because he talks to you, because he knows you. I'm preaching to the whole, but he's preaching to individual. And that double-edged sword should really make you change things. It really should say, you know, that hurts. I shouldn't do that. I should turn to God. It's a warning. It's a warning to repent. We've talked about that for weeks. The warning from the double-edged sword is to repent. That's all. Just have a change of heart. You don't have to do great and mighty things. You just have to have a change of heart. We have preachers. We have prophets. We have His Word. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Just wanted to say something. Now, knowing all that, here's the truth. We could see others' needs really clear. Right?
Yeah.
I'm telling you that it's all about you and God and all of you and God, and you got to do this with the double-edged sword thing. But it's funny, isn't it funny that we can see other people's faults like that? Clearly! Not only just, well, clearly! We got, that's what we are. We spend time worrying about other sins and faults and shortcomings. We do! Crazy, but we do! Well, actually, there's probably some good in that. If it, you know, we're watching out for our brothers and sisters. But sometimes, it's what we do with that that gets messy. You understand what I'm saying? We can be concerned about other people's faults, but we got to remember ours first. You know why? Because we all have faults. Yeah, me too. Would you say that with me? We all have faults. How many admit it? Okay. So, it's so easy to see other people's faults, what they're doing wrong, and why aren't they doing this, and why aren't... But see, that's easy. But seeing yours is what it's all about. See, and like I said, you know, there might be some good in we see somebody else doing something they shouldn't. Maybe we pull them aside. Maybe you shouldn't do that. But it's how we do it that matters too. Praise God. But we all have faults, old and new. So I ask you this question this morning. How long did it take you to remove those faults?
Still there.
Ooh. Some of them, yeah, like he just said. Right? Some of them are still there. Anybody admit to that? Brother Fred was brave enough to admit to that. So how much time do we give other people to remove their faults? Thank you. Because I wrote the word funny right there. Isn't it funny? How much time do we give them? Who do we think we are? I love that. How much time do we give? That's funny. Well, that person was this. He should be better by now, but he ain't. Well, yeah, but I'm not better right now either. But he's not better. How about how much time does God give? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How much time does God give? Thank you. God is God and we're not. What is your expectation on somebody who is born again, somebody who's healed? Well, and somebody who goes to church. Do you have an expectation on them different than the expectation on you? Think about that, because this is true. We expect other people to listen, but what about your expectation for you? It's important. I think it is. Other people's fault. Let me ask you to be true. Does it cause you to lose hope? Anybody lose hope seeing somebody else? You pray for the person and nothing's changing and you're losing hope? Does it cause you frustration? You're frustrated at somebody you've been praying, you're trying to help and they're not moving and they're frustrated and you're frustrated. Does it lose your joy? Anybody lose their joy when they think God should be working, but I'm losing my joy and I'm frustrated? Let me tell you about losing your joy, being frustrated and frustrated that they haven't changed. Let me tell you something. I want to go right to your heart. Are you ready? Those people who you are frustrated, that's not from God. If you're frustrated about somebody else not being where you think they should be, that's not from God. So I guess that adds to your faults. Because if you're looking at somebody with an expectation that they did A, B, they should be at C, and they're not, they're back to A again because they fell back, and you're not happy and you're frustrated about that, that's not your place. So you're out of line, right? You're out of the will of God. Think about that. Frustration is not from God. In fact, God's word should cause you to expect failure. I don't want any of you to fail. I don't want me to fail, but trust me, I do. I admit it. Why do I admit it so much? Because I want you to understand that God is bigger than anything, and I fall short of Him. every day. I mean, not that I get my wife mad or upset. That's true, but I'm talking about God. I'm talking about being right with God, and I fail, and I try, and I fail. But I should expect that, because the Bible tells us we should. If you know the Bible, and you're reading the Bible, and you're praying for people, you should expect things like that to happen. Failure, all right? Again and again. And let me tell you what the difference is. God is a patient God. It says so in that Bible. He is a patient God. The Bible says he's slow to anger. How many of you are slow to anger? I'm just being honest. I'm trying to get you back in the light. This isn't bad. This is good. When you realize this, it's good. When you realize something about God in heaven, it is good. Amen? Please, come on.
Amen.
God is patient, slow to anger. So I ask you, are we? The weeping prophet. That was Jeremiah. Glad you got the bullfrog out of your system, Shannon. But there's also the weeping preacher. That would be me. Or anybody who preaches the word of God, not just me. I'm not special. God called me and I accepted that and I love what I do. But I got to humble myself each week. But I'm a weeping preacher. When people don't come and they tell me that they love the word of God, but I can't, I want to reach them. I want to say something that really reaches them. At the end of Sunday, trust me, on Sunday night, I want to get to this later. Sunday night, after all my preaching on Sunday, I go home and said, I should have said that. Why didn't I say this? Lord, I didn't do it. I didn't reach them. I didn't get the point across. Because that's my heart. I think every good preacher should feel that way on Sunday night. That whatever they said, however important they thought it was, it missed the mark because we're talking about God. If I reach you all and you tell me it's good, then that's great. That's confirmation that I'm saying something right. But a preacher weeps for the lost. And you also, brothers and sisters, are the weeping believers. The weeping believers, because you want people saved. You want your family saved. You want your friends saved. You want this church to be so special because you want God to be special. If this church is special, God is special. How do we tell God, how do we tell the world that God is special? By having a special church, by having a church full of believers who love each other and who love God and who want other people to be what? Saved. Salvation. Do you weep for the lost? That's what I'm telling you. If you got brothers and sisters, even brothers and sisters in your church who you know are kind of tripping or somewhere, do you pray for them? We should pray for them. Not dictate to them, not yell at them, not all, but we should pray for them that they hear from God, that the message received. It's so beautiful. You pray for your family. Anybody pray for your family? I do it all the time. We do it all the time. That's what we're called to do, right? But we weep when they don't hear us. We weep. You might not get on your knees and weep and cry like Jeremiah did, but you weep, you have a sadness. See, I want to make sure that my children and my friends are saved, that they have salvation. Is there salvation in your hearts? I have another question. Do you pray for Israel? I know that some people think that's hard to do. You don't. Israel's not perfect. The Jewish nation's not perfect, amen? But God knows that. He knows it better than you and knows it better than me. Do you read about the Hebrew nation? 4 times they've been taken to captivity. In other words, they became slaves of another people. For God sees it. God is punishing them. And there are unbelievers in Israel. But God says you pray for them. Because you weep because they don't have their salvation. You didn't do anything to earn that salvation. It was a gift from God because you believed in the Son. That's all you did. So you weep for those who don't have salvation. Is everybody going to receive it? No. But you weep for them and you pray. The Bible says over and over again to pray for your who? Your enemies. You don't have enemies you don't pray for. You don't call people names and slap them around and not pray for them. You're out of the will of God. When somebody hates you so bad, you get so mad, you pray for them. You don't even have to tell them you're praying because they probably wouldn't receive it anyway. But you do it according to God. Because when you pray for them, you no longer can hate them. Are they evil? Probably. Are they mean? Probably. Are they destructive? Probably. But you're praying for God to intervene. That's not your job. Your job is to pray. Pray for your family, for your friends. You don't have enemies that you don't pray for. You don't judge them as enemies, because then God says, I judge you as you judge others. Don't go there. But in your heart of hearts, you weep for the lost. That's what Jeremiah's issue was. It's a really long book. Might be the longest prophecy book, the book of Jeremiah in your Bible. It's a long read, and you might not be reading it one time, two times, three times. Sometimes just read a page if you want. But I'll just share with you today. The weeping prophet. Why was he weeping? Because God's chosen people would not listen. They would not listen. And he wept. They would not obey. Obey who, church? The chosen people would not obey God. And he wept over and over and over again. God called Jeremiah to tell them, warn them. God called Jeremiah and warned them. He said, Jeremiah, you tell them over and over again. I don't care how many times they don't listen. You tell them over. You warn them. I'm going to warn you. Give them warning. Yet they kept refusing. And he kept weeping. He didn't get mad. He was hurting because these people, the chosen people, Moses went through this problem. Moses had a heck of a time through this problem. And this is the truth. This is what happened. And he was weeping. They kept on refusing. Let me tell you something. False and insecure worship is a failure to trust God. You might want to write that on the refrigerator. Marilyn, maybe I'll give you that next week. False and insecure worship is a failure to trust God. In Jeremiah's time, you think it's bad? And it's maybe you see it bad over here, bad wherever it is. But in his time, he saw the destruction of the first temple. In other words, the beautiful temple. He saw with his own eyes. And he saw the destruction of it. You think that was bad? I think so. And then he also witnessed the Hebrew nation being exiled into Babylon. In other words, he saw the Hebrew nation being taken slaves to another country. He saw that. He saw the people that he loved. The nation that he loved, the nation that God called for him to pray to and warn to be taken into slavery. He got depressed. Anybody here ever get depressed? Think it's a sin. Oh, it's a sin. I can't be depressed. No. It's emotion. It's your feeling. Does it mean you're not trusting God? I could be mean enough to say this, but it's a fact that you're not in the Word of God. You're not in the line. You're not in the light. But he got depressed. He wished, just like Job, that he was never born. How many know that Moses wished that too, that he was never born? That he was faced that situation and said, I can't deal with this. I wish I didn't have this responsibility. Jeremiah wished that he had never been born so that he would not see that. Also, he wished that he could just run away all by himself in the desert and be all alone and be done with it all by himself. This was the weeping prophet because Israel would not listen. He loved his people. He kept praying for their lives. That's what church is, praying for individual every Sunday. People go to churches and they fill churches up, but do they leave there knowing something they didn't? Do they leave their feelings? And my heart tells me not all the way, not all the time. I don't know. You got a lot of people and they hear a wonderful message and they leave and say, that was good. And then they forget when they leave what God said to them and how God talked to them. And their self, they didn't have that double-edged sword inside of them. They put it in other people. And they, well, that person heard that. Oh, I hope that person heard. Oh, yeah, that was good. But what about you? You see, Jeremiah was weeping for the people. We are weepers. The preacher weeps for his people. You're believers. You weep for the unsaved. The unsaved. The whole thing that we talk about with God is the resurrection. Being with Jesus in heaven. That's the whole thing. Paul said, without that, what are we doing? We should pray that these people have that. Saying I'm a Christian is not enough. Saying I'm a Catholic is not enough. Saying I'm a Baptist is not enough. Saying I'm a Jew is not enough. Saying I'm a Congregationalist, that's not enough. It's not enough to say it. How many times do you say, I don't see people changing? Anybody ever say, I don't see people changing? Let me ask you honestly, do you think God is concerned about what we see? I want you all to get this message. I want later on everybody to have a different heart and really repent. Really, really, really understand that God's got good news for us. Hallelujah. Say, I don't see people changing. And again, I ask you, do you think God is concerned about what we see?
No.
Of course not. His time, His way. His time, His way. They should put that on your refrigerator. His time, His way. His time, His way. I'm glad for that. We pray. And we walk by what?
Faith.
Not by what?
Sight.
We don't walk by what we see. That's not faith. Faith is what we don't see. We believe in what we don't see and we walk in that faith. We don't walk by sight because if we walk by sight, we're going to walk into the walls we think we saw. It's going to be futile to walk by sight. We walk by faith. Believe in what we don't see. Because we did one thing, we prayed. We pray for the lost. We pray for each other. We see it. We see it and we pray. This next thing I'm going to mention to you is beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. It's meant to encourage you, all of us. It's meant to really encourage you. This next little part of my message should really give you some kind of encouragement that you didn't have. Because there is life in this house. There is life in this house. I've seen God move in this house. I've seen prayers answered. My cousin Norm and Jenny are back in Colorado. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. They went on a trip and came back home safe. We went the other day with two people. It's the funniest thing. Dave, you're going to absolutely love this. They wanted to do something. They took us and we went to this place that was packed. Please, parking lot was packed. Packed. Right, Jeremy? We pulled in and he pulled around, drove around. And right in the middle of the parking lot, directly from where I'm standing to the doors outside, there was a parking place. And he pulled into the parking place. And I just, you believe this? There was 200 cars in the parking lot. The place was packed. He pulls around and right in front, as close as that door is to the main door of the place, there's a spot and he pulls right in. I said to him, if you don't give God thanks for this, I'm telling you, you're missing it. You're missing it. Well, we all had a good laugh and I don't laugh about it. I'm serious about it. So we went to the second place afterwards. We pulled in and the parking lot was full. Pulls around the corner. Just as he pulls around the corner, somebody's pulling out. He pulled in as close as we are to that door, to the front of that. But a whole look in the parking lot, you couldn't find a spot. I'm saying, if you don't understand, if you don't see God in this, you won't see Him in anything. You want to see explosions. You want to see stars falling out of heaven. I'm telling you, I see God all the time like that. These are miracles. These are answered prayers. These are God blessing us before we even asked us. That's the God I'm trying to get you to understand today. There is life in this church. I know it today. We're missing a dozen people, and I get it. But there is life in this church. You're bringing the life. But I need to encourage you. And here we go. We had 9 baptisms this year. 9. It started with 2. Deacon Sergio and me. He said, well, I don't know anybody else. We're going to, I don't know anybody else. And then somebody else said, well, maybe. And we got another maybe. And we don't know, we're just 2 of us. There were 9 baptisms in this church. 9 this year. It started at 2. Those 9 baptisms included an 18-year-old girl and an 18-year-old boy. Man, young man. 18-year-old girl and an 18-year-old boy gave their heart to Jesus. Gave their commitment to seeing God working. That is God working in this house. They belong to Him now. They're under His care. But this is what we need to understand. Will they fall? Will they fail? Will they make mistakes? Of course they will. Remember I said we see other people's faults much easier than we see ours? And we see that because we have grown-ups who got baptized too. Are they going to make mistakes? Of course they will. But say, Pastor, how can you say that? I would tell you simply, the best way to tell you how I know they're going to fail is to read this book. John, James, and Peter were baptized by John the Baptist, not Pastor Larry Casilli. They got baptized by John the Baptist. Y'all remember that in your Bible? Men who were baptized not by me, but John the Baptist. So read your Gospels. See all the times that they failed after they were baptized. See how many times they fell back to their old ways after they were
baptized.
Jesus even calls one of these people Satan after they were
baptized.
Hallelujah. We are a work in progress. That is not an excuse to mess up. That's not an excuse. You can have all the excuses in the world and you're calling God. You're not in the light. You're just off the word of God. You're not doing what you promised God. When you were baptized, you have an obligation. When you were baptized, you didn't have an obligation to me or anybody else in this church. You had an obligation to who? God. You have it. You got to do it. We can't do it for you. You got to say, Lord, that double-edged sword is inside me now, and I'm going to change. I'm going to change. I'm going to stop this, stop that, or just going to be a different person. I'm going to be in the light because that's where the blessings come. Because if I stay in the dark, whether you're baptized or not, He can take things from you, and you'll lose them, and you're going to blame Him, and it won't be His fault. It'll be yours because you got out of the light. We are works in progress. Offerings are not enough. Sacrifice, not enough. God has called us all to do one thing first. Isn't that a great word? First. He's called all of us to do one thing. Not offerings, not sacrifice, but one thing. And what's the one thing He has called us, even from Jeremiah and from Moses? To obey. Obey. If you will obey. Thank you, Lord. Remember, when you were baptized, it was an obligation to God, not to me, not to church. You're making an outward commitment. Now, and you might want to say, well, John and Peter and Jane, they fell back, but that's the excuse. You see, that's what the devil wants to say. I only exposed John, Peter, and James for you to understand that even after they were baptized like John the Baptist, they didn't become out of the water perfect human beings because you all admit that we all have faults, you see. But you see, it was that important that you see that. He even called one of them Satan after he was baptized. So offerings are not enough. Sacrifice is not enough. God has called us all to do one thing first, and that's to obey. Obey, if you will, obey. Making us Gentiles, making all, how many know you were all Gentiles, right? We're all Gentiles. Making us accepted was to provoke the Jewish nation to jealousy. He did that to make the other nation, the nation that they thought they were special, they thought that because they were chosen, they were special. He said, I'm going to make you jealous because I'm going to accept the Gentiles. We always were accepted when He said to Abraham, anybody who blesses you, I will bless. And He said, spread the message to all nations. But you see, but they missed that because they were Jewish, that they thought because just being Jewish was enough. It's not enough. Being a Catholic is not enough. Being a Christian is not enough. You must obey. So making us Gentiles accepted was to provoke the Jewish nation to jealousy. It was again part of His own plan. Our blessing was from their disobedience. Y'all catch that? Amen. The reason why we are blessed is because the Hebrew nation has disobeyed. You might want to almost thank them for it. is a sad, very sad, sick way, you might want to say, hey, thanks for that. Thank you, Lord, for that light coming through. You almost want to thank them for being disobedient. But now we are in a place where we need to pray for them. Are all of them going to be saved? No. Did he say so? No, he never said all of them. But we just need to pray for the lost. I'm closing now. Sacrifice is not enough. Words are not enough. Your words. A true Christian has one obligation. Not to me, not to us, not to this church, but to God. We can and we must obey. Give him praise. And I want to share it for Dave, and I want you to understand. Pastor Spurgeon, who I love reading, he was from England in the 1800s. I love reading what he says. That's what he said one time. He said, a great pastor, or a good pastor, or a good minister, after the sermon, feels like they didn't say enough. They feel like they didn't do enough. They didn't reach enough. They weren't, everything that they had and everything that they wrote, and afterwards they say, oh, I wish I said that. And that's what makes a man of heart. That makes the heart of the preacher for you. That's what it's all about. Somebody going up there and just preaching a great sermon and closing the book and forgetting what they did. They go, oh, that was great. I've seen that in the music world. My wife and I, we've seen people who tell you that they're great. You don't have to ask them. I'm great. Okay. I always like to have people tell me if they like what I did. That's what I always did. I always tried to, if they come up to me and say something, I take it. That's nice. A compliment. But I'm saying this to you because the week that we're going, there's not another man in this church that I could tell you if he does this. It's going to be David who's going to agonize over putting it together. Not because it's hard, not because it, but he wants it to be right. He'll want it to be something of value. And it'll be on his heart starting from right now to the day he gives it. When he comes up here to give it, he's going to pray about it all. He's going to be on his mind and say, I hope I got something. I hope this is good. Or whatever God gives him, it will be him wanting to do the best. And you could not ask anything more from somebody. So when that week we're gone, I want you to understand when David's here preaching or whatever he's got, he wants to do it the best for you. And that's why when you come that Sunday and see him, you should support him with all that because that's his heart. He understands what he's doing. And he'll say the same thing I say after service. Oh, man, I wish I said that. I wish I thought of that. That's what makes the difference. Because what I was just preaching on Jeremiah, that's all of us. That message for us, there's hope. We had 9 baptisms in this church. 9! In this little church in one winter, one summer. I think that means God is moving. God is moving in this place. Everybody participated. Everybody that helped, that's God. Everybody that had a hand in it, that was God helping. That's God moving in this church. Things like that don't happen in a cold, lukewarm church. That's a wonderful thing. So I want to, and we didn't even ask Dave first week. I mean, ask him, but that's why I asked my wife, because I was supposed to text you this week, and once we figured out when we had to go, because we had to wait for certain things to happen there before we could say when we're not choosing when to go this, because we never go in the first week of February. But that's it. And so when David comes up and he preaches or whatever God gives him, I want you to know that it's from right here, and he wants to be as good as he can possibly be, like the people he watches on TV. So thank you. Thank you. We have a promise of something that can only be found in that Bible. I want to give you good news, and I want to change your lives daily like it's changed mine. If anybody has a testimony, I would say that I could just, where I came from and what I did and how God has moved me and the blessings that I've had for doing it. That's the greatest part, right? The testimony is not that I went from here to there, but how God has blessed me from going here. I mean, it just never ends. His blessings never end. And the more you know about him and the more you hear him, it's a beautiful thing. But it's the resurrection of Jesus and eternity. The promise of our salvation. That what separates us from the entire planet. Any religion in the world that doesn't have that
Any world religion that doesn't teach about that, there's only one way. We know there's only one way, and that's through Jesus. That's the way. That He came, He did that once for us. He died for our sins. He sacrificed His blood for our sins. He was the Lamb that was slain, the unblemished Lamb, to pay for all our sins. But that's what we believe. Because I don't know about you, but I miss the people who have gone in front of me. I love them so much. But I just keep thinking, well, we're going to be together. And it's that hope that makes what we're doing now so beautiful. This, you know, we call it the Lord's Supper. This little thing that we have and this little thing that we do is simply acknowledging that we say it with our hearts and our mouths. Acknowledging we do this in Jesus' name. But with remembering what He did for us. That's it. You know, it's a beautiful sacrament. It's one of the most beautiful things we can do. They have it on TV every day, the Eucharist, every day. They want people to watch and share that. You could do it every day at lunch. You could do it in breakfast at your house. You can do it anytime to say, give thanks to God. I think it's a beautiful thing. Not scary, it's not. It's a blessing. You know so much more than they did. You did. So He took the bread and blessed and broke the bread. And then He took pieces and passed it all to them. And they remembered that. And they took the piece and they're looking at it. He said, now I want you to eat this bread. This is My body being torn for you. I want you to understand that My body is going to be torn. But I want you to eat this bread. Just take a little bite of bread. And you remember that. You did it. And He said, I want you to do this in remembrance of Me. In Jesus' name. Lord, forgive us for our faults of this week, even today. Forgive us, Lord, sometimes that we walk by sight and not by faith. Forgive us, Lord, that we don't feel that sword inside of us because we're not paying attention. We're not convicted, Lord, because we're ahead of You or we're just above You. We're just not in line with You. The most peaceful place is to be in line with God. It keeps you at peace. Sentry on my lips, Lord, and the armor for my body, Lord, to protect me from the evil one, Lord. To guide me, to show me, Lord, to be better, to be closer to You, to let people see You in me, not me and me, but You in me. None of us will be perfect, but forgive us, Lord, for our faults of this week, of this day, of our iniquities, Father. He took the wine and poured it into a cup. It is blood where the sacrament comes from. Our salvation comes from the blood of the Lamb. He said, this is My blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins. He passed a cup around and said, drink and do this in remembrance of Me in Jesus' name. Somebody be healed today. Take them into your heart again this morning. Every day. Receive the word today in a way you didn't expect to. Rejoice in that word that you didn't expect to. Be encouraged by what's happening in this house because of our brothers and sisters, the family that God blessed you with. Things are moving in this house. I believe God lives in this house. And I will believe forever. Thank you, church. Give Him praise.
Anyway, I just want to say, for whatever reason, Pastor Larry is going away and not going to be with us on a time of travel really is difficult or can be. Let's all pray and keep him, Doreen, and their family in our hearts, in our prayers, because if they're going away at a time that really stinks to travel, then something really big and important is going on in their family's life.
Brother, I'll accept that prayer. Brother, you accept that prayer. Now, we didn't choose this. But we're just praying that we'll have a good testimony when we come home. That's a great testimony. Any other announcements, anybody? Lily bought a fruit bowl. Save some for me when you get down here. Huh? Again, I want to thank Andre for playing the guitar with us, and I hope he continues to do that. Andre, hope you had fun. We won't throw you any curveballs, and make sure you have the music for the songs that we do, but thank you very much. It's no little thing that you did for your church. Any other announcements? Anybody? David, anything today? Let's stand.
You're up.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, like we fall. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America.